This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this, a holiday. What's today? Wednesday evening. I am Peter Rosenberg, and ENN tonight, it's special, brought to you by our friends at WPT Online Borgata Series, powered by Party Poker US Network. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You're an idiot, your sister smells, and she's ugly.
Thank you very much. And we start off by saying good evening to Don.
Buffalo Bills went out and got who?
Trey Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, because they said everybody.
How's everyone feeling on this holiday evening?
Great. Good. And I don't know. Kind of down.
You melancholy?
A little melancholy.
Why?
Well, because I'm not going to work with you again until January 4th. Only got 2 days left with RJ after today. It's a blizzard outside. Probably the only thing that's got me in a good mood is the quality of the show and the fact that I get the shovel in a few hours.
But look at Michael's new look.
I know. It's hard to tell the difference, but it's there.
It makes him look very strange, though, doesn't it?
I'm wearing a Santa beard and hat. It's for those listening on radio. And flashing lights around my neck and on my velour burgundy tux.
Guys, we haven't talked about this all day. We've had a lot to do. So we have not mentioned Daniel Jones and the fact that he is dealing with a second lower leg issue coming out of the Cardinals game, according to Joe Judge. It's been confirmed as a sprained left ankle in addition to the right hamstring strain that he was already dealing with. Let's hear from Daniel Jones on his injury.
It's sore and you know, part of playing the game. But like I said, just focused on healing up and, you know, doing everything I can to prepare to play on Sunday.
How did you feel today at practice, Daniel?
Felt good. I think, you know, just continued to, you know, follow the plan and you know, feel good throughout the week. And like I said, get ready to play.
So if he was actually hindered by the sore hamstring, now you're going to throw in an ankle injury. Could be a high ankle sprain, which I think would mean the end of his season. They didn't say that. So why would you play him? He was a sitting duck with a hamstring. Now he's got a hamstring and an ankle.
Listen,
and the Browns could plan on him not moving.
We jumped Adam Gase for his decision to allow Sam Darnold back in the game against Denver. I think this is way worse. Because there's, you look at the stages, right? Maybe Gase did it because he was trying to save his job. Maybe Gase did it because he knew that this isn't going to be the quarterback of the future anyway. Maybe he did it because he couldn't hurt the shoulder anymore, is what we were told. But in this case, it wasn't about hurting the hamstring more. It's about now taking away his ability to avoid the rush. He got sacked a bunch of times. Now he's injured something else. And now are you playing him almost to justify why you played him last week? It's, I don't know. I like Joe Judge, and I like what's happening here with this team. This one's, I think this is a tough one to get up from. I'm sorry. And sometimes you got to lose the battle to win the war. And I want to make this, I want to make the playoffs too, Michael. But, you know,
this could be trouble.
He can get himself seriously hurt here.
And we already saw that he wasn't good Sunday. He looked very limited. And didn't we all agree that we thought 100% Colt McCoy was better than what Daniel Jones was on Sunday?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but now, guys, it's not even about like who gives you the best chance to win. Do you want to get him seriously hurt?
Right, and I'm just looking at it from both perspectives, though, Don. So there's the obvious one of protect your future, and then there's, does he even give you a better shot?
And we've mentioned this before with this. Boy, we took Eli for granted. So this guy has been hurt twice in the last two times he stepped on the field. Eli never got hurt, ever. Never missed a game, ever. Only game he ever missed, They took him out for Geno Smith. That's it. And then he didn't start those games last year because of Daniel Jones. He never did not go to the post because of an injury. And that's not a knock on Daniel Jones. It happens to everybody. But I don't think we appreciated the sturdiness of Eli Manning the way we should have when it was happening in real time. Now we understand it just doesn't happen. It's unusual for a guy to go to the post all the time.
But here's the difference is that you're right. It's not a knock on Daniel Jones, and it just shows you the appreciation you should have for Eli, because this was like never a topic of conversation. What Peter brought up here never happened with Eli. But Eli was always a pocket passer. So Eli never relied on his athleticism or his ability to run around. So he was a pure pocket passer. You know, this kid hasn't developed that skill yet. We saw it last week, a feel for the rush. He doesn't seem to have that, being able to hold on to the ball when he takes a hit. These are still things he's developing. And one of the reasons it's working for him as a quarterback in his maturation process is his athleticism, and that they can build some things in for him to be able to buy time. Now he's being forced to accelerate his knowledge of the pocket passer, and I don't think he's there yet. And you're going to go up against, is Myles Garrett playing? You know, you're going up against they didn't play well on Monday night, but you know, now he doesn't have a major weapon as his asset, and now he can get himself hurt. Seriously.
Football is an insane game. Think about how differently, Don, your mentality probably was on the Giants and the end of the season and making the playoffs a week ago versus right now.
Yeah. Everything changes now, right? The playoffs go from almost a fait accompli. They control their own destiny. And now, what is it, down to 14%?
Yeah. They went from like 60-something percent to 14%. And on top of that, the Giants played poorly. Daniel Jones didn't play well. And then the Browns put up 42 points against a pretty good defense. So
the Browns
bode well.
The Browns appear to be hitting their stride offensively.
Yep.
Right. So
the Tennessee game the week before, then the game this past weekend, they just against Baltimore, they just seem to be getting there.
Now, long term, you know, if this is the way it's going to be for the last 3 weeks, and you figure it's going to be, unless he, you know, Mr. Miyagi comes in and just changes everything, is that now we're not going to know going into next year how you feel about Daniel Jones, because what was supposed to be his chance to show with a running game, with the offensive line playing better, with the defense being lights out. Now it's time for Daniel Jones in these last four games to say, all right, let's check off the quarterback among the boxes we've checked here this season. Coach, check. Offensive coordinator, check. Defensive coordinator, check. Defense, check. Offensive line, check. Running game, check. Quarterback, don't know. Guess what? All summer long, we're going to wonder, is Daniel Jones the guy? Because you don't want to judge him in December here. Not if he's on one leg.
That is such a, Don, I didn't even think about that. How big a bummer is that we just said, when Daniel Jones was out, we said when Jones comes back, he will play the biggest games of his Giants career. And we can really make a judgment on what we have, because you're seeing what he does in a critical moment. Now we may not get a fair look at that at all this year. Now we could, though, Don, because obviously the number one way the Giants miss the playoffs, and where you feel terrible, is if they lose to Cleveland this weekend and Washington were to beat Seattle at home. You would agree, Don, that doesn't make it impossible, but it gets close to impossible.
No, then now you're down, because you're down two games.
You have to win both and they have to lose both.
Yeah. Right. And after beating Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, all right, beating the 49ers on the road, winning against Seattle, then all of a sudden they're going to lose at home against Carolina and at Philadelphia?
And one other aspect of this, too. So let's say the Giants lose and Washington wins, and then the Giants win the next two and Washington loses the next two. That doesn't guarantee the Giants anything, because now you've opened the door for the Eagles.
That's true, because it would mean Washington lost to the Eagles the last week of the year.
Right.
And yeah.
Well, that's not going to matter, Michael.
What was that?
Because if there's any scenario in which Philadelphia wins with the same amount of wins as the Redskins, or excuse me, Washington and New York, it's over because of the tie.
Right. That's why if they going into last week, if you said, well, they're going to split the four games, both of them, that opens up the Eagles to have the same amount of wins.
Now, so here's the good news, and I'm sorry to be morose, and it's certainly not good news for me, But Alex Smith and Antonio Gibson both missed practice again today for Washington. Alex Smith said, I feel all right taking it day by day. I know you guys don't want to hear that. Obviously, we're making improvements. It's early in the week. We'll see as it goes on. So now, that's a tough – that would become a very tough ask of that Washington defense to beat Seattle with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback.
Now, let me ask you the $64,000 question, Peter.
Go ahead.
He's, you know, he's limited. Do you say, all right, you know, Seattle doesn't have a great defense, certainly, but there's aspects of their defense that can be troubling. Do you
Smith? Him over Dwayne.
Well, but just like acknowledging, like, listen, even with Alex, you know, Seattle still, even though we got the game at home, you know what? I want to make sure Alex is ready for that Carolina and Philadelphia game. I'm not going to take a chance because he's in a similar, you know, when he's limited and he starts taking hits. And now you're asking Haskins to now win the last two games of the season to get you in. Would you lean on the side of just hoping your defense can carry the day and ask Dwayne Haskins to manage your
way
through
Seattle? One thing I will tell you around these injuries the last couple of years, calves are really tough. I mean, this is a guy whose leg is compromised anyway because of what he went through. So
no, I keep thinking about Steve Young.
That's not a great thing.
I keep thinking about what Steve said. Steve Young told us about, you know, he can't believe Alex can play at all because the leg is so compromised. Don, I believe if he's close to better but not better, I think because the games after Seattle are so winnable and there's a good chance that the Giants lose this weekend, I say you rest Alex. Hope the defense can do enough and Haskins surprises you. And you let him get completely better to play Carolina.
See, but that's the problem. I don't think a calf gets completely better for a long time.
Well, but you don't know the extent of it.
But still, a calf injury, calf and quads are terrible. They're
worse than he's not out, Michael.
I know.
So obviously they're leaving. He's not practicing, but he's not out. So they're not ruling out it improving.
I think a lot of NFL teams, although it's illegal, they use that list just to make other teams prepare for the possibility that Alex Smith could play. Because preparing for Dwayne Haskins is completely different than preparing for Alex Smith.
Well, the biggest difference you're getting to is a quarterback who absolutely makes every single read, every progression, every single play, and a player who literally stares at one player and that's it.
Right.
So it's such a different ballgame. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting weekend of football in the NFCs, that's for sure. Adam Gase spoke about ownership, and does he feel that he and the Jets have let Christopher Johnson down?
The way the season's gone, is there a part of you that feels like you let him down?
Yeah. Try to figure out where things went wrong, what can we change. It's like you're trying to evaluate things as you go and adjust to try to fix whatever the issue would be for that, you know, month or those three games or four games. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. We haven't done that. For him not to feel a playoff feel of being competitive, you know, in December is just, it's disappointing to me that we haven't been able to do that for him.
And these could be the last days of Christopher Johnson running this team. I mean, if Woody comes back, Woody's taking the team back. So the Christopher Johnson era will not be covered in glory.
No. Something's changed. I wonder if Gase was told something.
What do you mean? What's changed, John? Take us through it.
Well, just like he just sounds different. It started with the whole, you know, I didn't do a great job. And but this is somebody who would never take any responsibility, always pointing the finger at everybody else. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, I didn't do a great job for Sam Darnold, and now he feels bad. You know, they let Chris Johnson down. Michael said it earlier in the show. There seems there's a finality to the way he's speaking now. Now, is that because we're winding down the season? Well, there's still three games left.
They probably told him he's gone. Do you want to finish? And he probably wants to finish.
Well, and the entire coaching staff, with the exception of Greg Williams, who's now no longer here, are all Gase guys, right? I mean, I don't know how many are holdovers from the last regime. So I guess if he were to get fired, you know, or something were to happen like that, maybe it just they'd all walk. I don't know. You got to function, but maybe he just sees the way they lost the last two games, right? Maybe he still had confidence that they can close well, they were getting healthier, win a few games down the stretch. He can convince Chris Johnson to keep his job. But but you blow that game against the Raiders. You saw how devastated he was by that. And then a complete no-show against Seattle. Listen, they weren't beating Seattle, guys. But that game was just an embarrassment. 40-3. And the Seahawks called off the dogs in the second half.
They played Geno Smith.
Still scoring points. So maybe it's just that now he realizes, am I going to go to Los Angeles and beat the Rams? Am I going to beat that Cleveland team the way they played on Monday? You know, so maybe now the bell's finally rung on him.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You know what it's time for, guys?
What?
What's that?
Harden watch.
Oh. Here goes the beer, and a left-hand throwdown! 61!
Jim Harden watch.
Jim Harden seems like a math teacher. It's just some irony.
You say irony, I say stupidity.
He looked like more like a math teacher than an athlete yesterday.
Math teacher? He looked like a...
Not a phys ed teacher.
Yeah, I was going to say. So, we'll get to that. But Jimbo played his first preseason action for the Rockets. He did not talk to the media yesterday, which was in violation of the NBA's media access rules. But he did talk today, and he was asked about not being with his team for the start of camp.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
In the start of the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just, you know, my personal trainers.
Lil Baby now a personal trainer.
That is big news. I did not know Lil Baby was also a personal trainer.
Did you see the story today about the perks? The Rockets essentially let James Harden run the team. He would be late to planes. The plane wouldn't take off without him. He'd habitually be late to meetings. Russell Westbrook said, let's just start the meeting. And D'Antoni goes, well, we'll have to do it all over again when he gets here. He would leave. If they had a couple of days off in a row, he would just tell him he's leaving and going to Vegas. He ran everything about the team. The bus didn't leave till he got there. He habitually got there late. And as somebody in the story said, it's on ESPN.com. Listen, if you're going to feed your children candy all the time and all of a sudden they can't have candy and they kick up a tantrum, can't blame the kids. So James Harden had the run of that place. That's why I'm a little taken aback that he wants to go somewhere else, because I don't think he'd have the run of the place wherever he goes. You have to build up that kind of equity.
By the way,
didn't make him look good, I'll tell you that.
Well, he didn't physically look good either. It was people were comparing him to former Packer running back Eddie Lacy.
It had to be an angle, though. Because I don't think he's that heavy. I mean, he looked heavy in that picture that was out there.
Well, and also, let's remember, even when Jim Harden's playing his best ball, he's not the typical physical specimen.
But let's face it, he did not work out in Vegas.
That's true.
But, Michael, maybe it's just a case of, you know, now he realizes he's not going to have the run of the place, but he's got a chance at a championship. That maybe if he goes to Brooklyn or Philadelphia, he will not be that kind of guy, but he'll trade that in for a chance to win a ring.
But, Don, you'd have to admit, nothing keeps you in shape like having a little baby around the house. I mean, you had two little babies, and they make you run around.
Now, Andrew, in spite of what we're hearing about Jim Harden, would you welcome him to Philadelphia with open arms?
That was a bad look last night. Yeah, that was a... Now, I will say, I saw highlights from the game, and whatever the angle was that showed him looking as big as he was, he didn't look like that the rest of the night. Right. Well, he might have put on some pounds, but not like that. Yeah, I'd still welcome him with open arms. I still say I don't want to give up Ben Simmons for him. But if they can find a way to do it, and it's Embiid, Simmons, and Harden, yeah, I'll definitely sign up for that.
That's how are they getting him without giving up one of those two guys.
I don't know, but everything I keep hearing is that that's the only way they'll do it, is if they can do it without having to give up Simmons.
Like, so they want a big three. That's how they want to do
it. Yeah, I'm sure it'll require probably, I'd say, at least three first-round picks, probably Tobias Harris to make money work, probably Matisse Thybulle, who's one of their better young players. So, I don't know. It doesn't sound realistic to me, but if that's the only way they'll do it, then I'm just trying to think of what the options are.
Well, guess what, guys?
What?
Over the last 2 weeks, we've asked our listeners to send us their best hot take for the chance to win some extra holiday spending cash and the opportunity to join us today. And we've selected our winners. And up next, we have our guy, Zach Cantalise from Hamilton, New Jersey. He's won $250 cash, and he joins us now with a chance to win more. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going?
How you doing, bud?
I'm thrilled. I'm on the Michael Kay show, nice. So no complaints right now.
Darn right you are. So what is your scorching hot? And you get to be an ENN, too. What's your scorching hot take for the show?
Well, first, thank you for having me on ENN as well. I love this segment. But my scorching hot take is Gary Sanchez will be AL MVP this upcoming season.
Okay. Well, ooh, I need to know why.
So I'm going to throw 2020 out the window. He batted 149. You know, 2020, it's a weird year. We've seen some of the craziest things in this world.
Can I stop you for 1 second before you finish? Are you a Yankee fan?
Absolutely. Die hard.
Are you throwing DJ's 364 out the window then, too?
No, never.
Okay. It's selective throwing.
Mom,
okay.
Listen, his general manager said the same thing.
We'll give Gary a pass. I think the key with Gary is three things. I think, one, the videos of him playing in the Dominican League right now, it looks like his hands are a little higher, and it seems like that's better for him. His hands were really low in his at-bats this year, and it looked bad. Two, it looks like he's not only hitting home runs in the Dominican League, but it looks like he's actually getting some contact, some singles. I think that's big for him, because when he came up in 2016, he wasn't just a home run or nothing guy, you know. He was an all-around great hitter hitting in the middle of our lineup. So if he can get back to some of that, I think that's really good for him. And I think he's also going to play with the chip on his shoulder. He didn't only lose his starting job to Gashioka, but he also lost being Garrett Cole's guy. You know, he started the year as Garrett Cole's guy, and we heard how much Garrett loved him. By the end of the year, we heard nothing about that, and it was Higashioka only. So I think Gary Sanchez will play with the chip on his shoulder and have a true bounce-back year.
Now, you realize that Gary is not catching in the Dominican, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe he's a better hitter if he doesn't have to worry about catching.
That's true, but the problem is Stanton holds up that gap at DH.
Yes.
So I think my hope would be that we got the catching problems behind us now after last year with the adjustments he's made, and he can truly focus on offense again. He's never going to be a great defensive catcher. But if he can be comfortable and do a good job, I think that's good enough for the Yankees if he can put up those numbers he put up in 2016-17.
Cool.
Mom, here's my issue. I mean, he's talking about MVP. You made a lot of great gave us a lot of great examples how he'll be improved and not be as bad as he's been, but that's a
MVP?
Pretty bold jump to be
that's
the MVP
lot.
Of the league.
That's a lot. Hey, Zach, thank
but
you.
Still.
We're going to pick our grand prize winner during the final segment of the show today.
Thank you, guys.
Stove. Yeah,
thanks, Zach.
Good luck, Zach.
That's right. And that will do it for ENN, the special holiday edition of ENN.
We have a lot more to do. We have to give away the final Sam Darnold signed jersey. We are going to replay one of the great moments from a holiday party a couple of years ago. Don broke into song.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll have the grand prize winner of the Holiday Hot Take as we continue to embrace you and all that you've meant to us throughout this very, very difficult year. We hope that we've helped you just a little bit, made you smile every now and then. But we love you. We love you for listening and watching, and it's a big deal. That's why we've put together what essentially is a virtual party rather than the one we usually have in person. So sit back, relax. We've got more to come, more things to give away. It's Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.